Good morning, church. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. We're in a series on things to come, eschatology. It's about the doctrine of last things. We discussed the rapture last Sunday, and this morning we're going to look at another part of these last things. I used to live in Florida. We saw many of the Apollo launches. We were in Melbourne, so we were only about 15 miles south of the Cape where they launched those rockets. And when that rocket took off, you could feel it 15 miles away, see the burn. And of course, we'd have the TV on and listen to the countdown. 10, 9, 8. I'm sure you're aware of this, but every one of us, from the moment you're born, are in a countdown. God knows both your birth date and your death date. It's not a surprise to Him. Everyone here is going to die. As believers, we know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Once we pass this life, we will be in the presence of Christ. The rapture will take place, our bodies will be changed, and then we have a divine appointment. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. The word judgment in the New Testament takes on two meanings. When the word judgment is used with reference to unbelievers, it's talking about condemnation. When the word judgment is used with reference to believers, those who know Christ, it's talking about reward. And we're looking at the judgment seat of Christ. It's talking about God's judgment for reward for the believer. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, we read these words. And I want you to listen very carefully how this is worded. For we must all appear. In fact, it would read, for we, each one of us, shall appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one, again, there's that individuality, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. The judgment seat of Christ refers to both the place of the judgment, the person of the judgment, and the people of the judgment. When we're thinking about the judgment seat of Christ, I want us to look at three things also. Number one, the meaning of the judgment. The judge of the judgment, and the purpose of the judgment. The judgment seat of Christ takes place sometime after the rapture of the believer. So we will be in our glorified bodies. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 makes this very apparent. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. This very clear statement tells us that we will, after our resurrection, in our new bodies, we will stand before Christ and give an account. So this judgment's not going to take place on earth since we'll be gone. Amen? It takes place in heaven. So it's a judgment of the believer in heaven after the resurrection by Christ at this judgment. And everyone individually is going to give an account. This is not a corporate accounting. This is not all of us standing together giving a corporate account. This is individual accountment. That's each individual person that knows the Lord will stand before Christ and give an account of how we lived our lives. So we could have one word to describe what we're talking about here. We're talking about faithfulness. The Bible said it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So our faithfulness in service to God is going to be judged at the judgment seat. In the book of James, there's a couple of verses, a couple of words that are used, Greek words that are used as the word judgment in the New Testament. One is found in James chapter 2 and verse 6. It's the word criterion. We get our word criteria from. It has a thought of the rule by which one is judged, the standard by which a person is judged. So the word criterion is a word that is used of the judgment seat, and it's talking about the standard or the rule by which we will be judged. The second word is found in Romans 14:10. It's the word bema. It's also found here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Bema means a place of judgment. It refers to a platform or raised platform during the Grecian games, the Corinthian games, those things that we would model our Olympics after today. There was a raised platform, and the person that sat on the platform was the umpire or judge of the games. And he would watch the games transpire, and as they were running, if they ran officially, they ran correctly, they ran the right mark, they ran the right distance, they ran in the right way, and they finished the race, they would receive a laurel, flowers, I don't know, that would be placed on their head, and that was the reward that was given for running properly, for doing the job right. So it means, this bema means the place where the judge sits in order to fully view and render a correct decision. Do you see it now? The bema seat is the judge ruling to render a correct decision. The judgment seat is the criterion The criteria that we're judged by, the rule or standard that we are judged by. We're not judged by man's standard. We're judged by God's standard. Secondly, I want you to know that the judgment seat of Christ is not a judgment for sin. All sin was judged at the cross. Amen? So we'll never be judged for our sin again. So once we receive Christ, our appointment is made. So we're not going to stand before God as believers and be judged for our sin. He's not going to weigh our good works, the good things we did against the bad things we did. Although it said good and bad here, but it's not talking about a sin. It's talking about choices that we make. So we're not going to judge for our sin. That's not going to happen. Herod, who was the Tetrarch of Jerusalem, built a bima at Caesarea. They had a huge games in Caesarea, large amphitheater there. He used it to view the games and give out laurels and make speeches in determining who was the winner. In the Grecian games, they built a bima where the president of the games and the official umpire of the games sat. So again, the bima was a place where the judge, the highest authority, gave his decision and rewarded the participants for their labor. So the judgment seat of Christ means the place where the standard is judged. In the place where the umpire renders his decision. So each of us someday will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. This is a serious thing. This is an important thing. And every single one of us will be there. So number one, the meaning of the judgment seat. Number two, the judge of the judgment seat. In Romans chapter 14, if you want to jump over there real quickly. Romans chapter 14. For why dost thou judge thy brother, verse 10? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Verse 12, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. In John chapter 5, the Bible tells us that God said that he has committed all judgment unto the Son. The Bible makes it very clear that Jesus Christ will be the judge at the judgment seat. Amen? There's three reasons for this. You may want to write these down. Number one, Jesus Christ will be the judge of the judgment seat, number one, because God gave judgment authority to Christ, all God's people said. No one else is going to judge you. Christ will judge you. You will face the one who went to the cross, died on the cross, paid your sin debt, rose for your justification, and now waits in heaven to return, call you home, and to that individual, Jesus Christ, every single one of us will give an account of himself before God. Jesus Christ is the judge because God gave judgment authority to Christ. Number two, Jesus Christ is the judge because the one who saved us ought to judge us. No one else should. This is not a human judgment. It's a divine judgment. Christ saved you, he has the right to judge you. If anybody had the right, it would be Christ. He became your sin. He became sin for us, the Bible tells us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He gave us the wherewithal to become righteous before him in the righteousness of himself. Jesus Christ will be the judge, thirdly, because every believer must give an account before the judge. Every believer. None of you are exempt. Every one of us sitting here, everyone in the church today, will give an account of himself before God. So this judgment is a judgment of our service, work done for God. The standard is God's. The judge will render the verdict. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, please. Verse 11, for other foundations can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, listen to the two foundations, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble. Two kinds of things, things that are worthy and things that are unworthy, things that are lasting and things that don't last. Things that are permanent, things that perish. Verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest. That's an important word. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Can you see this happening? Wood, hay, and stubble be burned up instantaneously. That represents the things we did. There were not things done for God. They were things done for some other reason. But they certainly were not done for God. Gold, silver, precious stones represents those things that are done for God. The fire comes down and purifies them and makes them brighter and shows them cleaner and helps us see the necessity of those things we did. Serving God. Telling others about Christ. Coming to church. Helping each brother and sister to walk the way they ought. Helping those in need. We could go on and on. A cup of water in his name. These are things that God wants to see. By the way, this is not a judgment for perfection. All God's people said. Amen. Yeah, amen, big time. Amen. None of us are perfect. We're not perfect. We're imperfect at best. But our striving, our desire for God. The judgment seat is not to deliver you from sin. We said that before. It's not a judgment to bar you from some service to God. It's not. But it is a judgment for those things that we were doing as believers. It's to reveal, listen very carefully, every work done by the believer as it truly was. 2 Corinthians 5:10. As it truly was. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The word appear is a great word. It's the same word that's translated in 1 Corinthians 3:14, manifest. Same word. It denotes a revealing and an open show. The judgment seat, at the judgment seat, every believer will have his work revealed openly. And it will be shown as it really is, not as in many cases as we think it appears. Amen? Do you know we do a lot of things as Christians for the sake of honor of men? We do a lot of things so that we can get a pat on the back. What motivates you to do what you do? Criteria. The motivation behind the work. What challenges you to do what you should do? What brings you to the point of serving God? Do you do it for the glory of God, or do you do it for the glory of self? You see, this judgment is going to determine that. For we must all appear at this judgment seat. Every believer will have his work revealed openly, and it will be shown as it really is, not as in many cases as it appears. Two things will be judged there. Number one, the character of our work. All God's people said. And the motives of our work will be judged. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. That's an interesting phrase. The word declare to mark, and it really means to mark the character of an event. It marks the character of what's happening. What is the character of your work? What does it look like to God? How does Jesus view it? You know, at this judgment seat, we will suffer loss of rewards or gaining of rewards. There are five crowns mentioned in the New Testament that we'll receive. Crown of righteousness. Crown of glory. Those that love his appearing. Soul winner's crown. These things are going to be awarded to the believer. Not for us to keep. Not for us to hold on to and say, look what I've done. But they'll be given back to Christ. Amen? We'll bow before him. We'll render to him these crowns. What a sad commentation on the life of a believer who has no crown. Who have nothing to give back to Christ. The judgment seat is to judge both the character of our work and the motive of our work. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Listen to this verse, verse 5. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsel of the hearts. God will put his finger on it. It'll be showing up. It can't be hidden. God will point it out. Everything that we should have done and everything that we did do to honor the Lord Jesus. A judgment seat of Christ. That phrase in 5:10, whether it be good or bad, it means beneficial or worthy of merit. Whether it's worthy of merit or it's without merit. It's not talking about sin. It's saying the things you did, are they worthy of merit or are they worthy, not worthy of merit? If they're worthy of merit, you'll receive a reward. If they're not worthy of merit, you won't. So this is a judgment of motives, a judgment of character. It's a judgment that will render results. Some believe that part and parcel of the reward of the judgment seat is when we rule with Christ in the millennium. That ruling will be determined by this judgment seat. If you were a believer who had gold, silver, and precious stone, you will be awarded a service in the millennium. If you were a believer who had wood, hay, and stubble, you'll be put on the sideline. There won't be service for you. The judgment seat of Christ. Everyone must give an account of himself before God. Lord, help us to realize the importance of this meeting with you, to realize the issue at hand, the service at stake. And Lord, may we represent you and honor you so that when we come to that day and stand before you, we'll not be ashamed before you at your coming. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.